Welcome to The Word at First Press Church of Arlington Heights. The sermon is based on Scripture to help us see how God was at work in the lives of the faithful in their time and how God is at work now in our lives on our journey of faith. I invite you to listen for how God's Word might be speaking to you today.
Our first Scripture reading is from 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. Verses 8 through 16. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go now to Zarephath. There belongs to Sidon. I live there. For I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading comes to us from the Gospel of Mark, and here we have another story about a widow, but many centuries after the reading from 1 Kings, a widow who had very little and ended up giving all that she had in response to how God was calling her. Reading from Mark in the 12th chapter, beginning with the 38th verse. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearances say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has given all she had, everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today, as we gather for Commitment Sunday, we're reminded of what it means to treasure the gifts God has given us and to share those gifts within our community. Over the past few Sundays, we've heard from speakers in our congregation, each sharing a personal story of stewardship in their church life. Their stories have helped us see how each of us has unique treasures to offer. One Sunday, Sarah White shared the story of her children running a lemonade stand over the summer. They decided all on their own to give half of their earnings to the church, experiencing joy that went far beyond dollars and cents. Through their simple act, they felt the joy of giving to something bigger than themselves, discovering the beauty of contributing to God's work in the world. Another Sunday, Todd Smith spoke about the joy he finds in giving his talents to the church, playing with the brass group, and more recently, the praise band. He has found joy in using his musical gifts to enrich our worship and to connect with God. His story reminds us that our talents, when offered freely, become a treasured part of our shared faith life. Last week, Kim Hogan spoke of the importance of mission work, especially through mission trips with the youth. She shared how giving her time alongside young people to make a difference in other people's lives has become a profound expression of her faith. For her, mission work has been a treasured opportunity to serve, bringing hope and love to those in need. Each of these stories reflects a heart for stewardship, a commitment to offer what we treasure, to support God's work here and beyond our church walls. As we consider our own offerings today, these examples invite us to think deeply about what we treasure and how we might share it with others. Reflecting on our members' stories this week brought to my mind an older story about a child, a young boy, who was invited to his local church through a community evangelism campaign. The boy came on his own, having never been in a church before. He heard the gospel message of God's love and believed it, and wanted to show his newfound dedication to Christ in some way. Now, he wasn't familiar with the customs of the church, and I know with the word evangelism, we don't think it was Presbyterian, but I think it probably was, because he saw there were many committees. But he didn't know how to join them. He couldn't figure out how to volunteer for one of the mission projects. He also wasn't from a family of any kind of financial means, and he himself had no money with him, not even a coin in his pocket. He was considering this last fact as the collection plates were being passed around. He saw people putting in checks and bills and envelopes, and he started to wonder what he could put in that would really express all that he wanted to give for Christ. The story goes that when the plates were brought up to the front for the prayer of dedication, the boy ran up, grabbed one of the plates, put it down on the floor, and proceeded to put both feet in and stand in the middle of the plate in front of the minister and the whole church. He explained that he had no money to offer, but wanted to give everything he had, which was all of himself, for Jesus. Now, whether or not that story is completely true, and actually it could be, it gives us a clear and powerful image of offering all that we have and are, what we treasure, in order to live a life fully devoted to Christ and sharing Christ's love with the world. In today's scripture, we see another example of treasured giving in the story of a widow who makes a profound offering. Now, she doesn't put her whole body into the collection box like the little boy in the story, but she might as well have, because she does give all that she has, which is part and parcel of all that she is. The scripture says that she was a widow. And that tells us a great deal about her circumstances. A widow at that time in that society was automatically poor because she would have had no means to support herself, She would be completely dependent on the charity of relatives or even strangers. A widow could easily be homeless and would have less earning potential than the average servant. She was a person other people had to care for if they felt moved to do so. She was not a person who had any means of helping others, and she was certainly not considered to be great or an important contributor to the society or to the church. Standing in stark contrast to the poor widow are the rich religious authority figures that are seen as very important contributors to the church and society. They are standing in the temple giving great sums to the treasury in obvious ways, so that how much they give is known to everyone. Their importance to God's church evident to all. All that is, except God, who sees that while they may be giving out of an abundance of wealth, they are conversely giving from an impoverished spirit. God's interpretation of these events comes to us through Jesus' teaching. Jesus and his disciples have already witnessed the impressive show of giving by church leaders. But Jesus does not point them out as an example for his followers. Instead, he brings their attention to the widow, saying that she has put in more than all those contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. The literal translation from the original Greek of the last part of that sentence, all she had to live on, is all the living of her. Since she was described as a poor widow, it is assumed that those two small copper coins, worth half a penny each, was all the money she had. A widow would not have had any savings or other assets, and she would not have had the promise of any additional income. Everything she had to live on, her entire livelihood, is what she gave to the offering. This truly was all the living of her, given with apparent freedom and lack of concern for her own benefit. The teaching of this story is more than a comparison of sums or even of percentages of income between the scribes and the poor widow. It is a greater lesson of what it means to give your entire life, who you are, including all that you have and treasure, to follow God. For this woman, expressing her complete love and devotion to God in that moment meant giving her last cent to the church treasury. For the little boy, it meant literally putting himself in the offering plate. We heard from our members how they have been moved to give of themselves to God's work in the church. Jesus wants all his followers to ask themselves the same question. What would it mean for you to give all of yourself to follow God, to put in all the living of you? It is no coincidence that this story of the widow's offering is Jesus' last public teaching in the Gospel of Mark. All the passages that follow involve Jesus' predictions of his death to his disciples and the events surrounding his crucifixion and resurrection. That means this teaching concerning the widow is of paramount importance to understanding what Jesus has come to show us about our life with God. The scripture says that the widow gave out of her poverty. In the material sense, this is true. But in the spiritual sense, She actually gave out of her abundance, an abundance of life and freedom given to her through the love of God, an abundance that helped her to see who she was and what she had to offer with God's eyes, and to offer all of herself, not out of obligation or fear, but because of pure love. Jesus will soon make this point with his own life by entrusting all of himself, all the living of him, to the events that are about to unfold. I remember a teaching from a presbytery executive in Indiana many years ago who challenged us to do everything out of what he called a theology of abundance. He said that when we consider all that Christ not only gave for us, but continues to give to us, then we will see ourselves not as people impoverished by circumstance, but as believers who are rich in grace, with more to share with the world than we could ever imagine. He explained that when we as individuals and as a congregation begin to practice our faith with a theology of abundance, then we, like the widow, are moved to a lifestyle of giving that flows from the rich abundance of love and life that we have in Christ. As we continue to reflect on the widow's example, along with the heartfelt stories shared by members of our church, I hope we will see that loving and following God is something that not only changes your life, but involves your whole life for the rest of your life. It is not something to do in our spare time, but is in and of itself a whole new way of living. The questions we ask ourselves change from what will I give to what do I treasure most, from what do I have to offer to how can I live so that my life reflects that treasure. Today we are invited to bring not only our financial gifts for the coming year, but our whole selves, our time and talents, our hopes and dreams for what our church can become. May your offering reflect the abundance of love, hope, and faith that God has poured into your life. And may it be a reminder that our true treasure lies in living fully for God, just as Christ lived fully for us. In the name of our Creator, Christ and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening. To learn more about the ministries and mission of First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, Illinois, please visit firstpresah.org, where you can get information about our services and programs, including times and directions, and communicate with us about a prayer request, any questions you have, or how you might like to get involved.